Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:33 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is June 8th, and I thought we'd kick off today with Bitcoin. It had a pretty significant sell-off in the early part of the day, and then recouped a good part of that by the end of the day. And certainly we've had a lot of commonality in terms of the moves on a day-to-day basis, although obviously Bitcoin has moved a lot more than stock markets have. It generally seems to be carrying through that when we get weakness in Bitcoin, we also get weakness on the stock market. When we then look at, for example, the S&P 500, well, it has been pretty much going sideways for most of the last 2 months, but then it was well off its lows in here today, in much the same way as we have for the Bitcoin price. Now, one thing that I think is particularly interesting right now is option pricing on the VIX. So if we look out at options at just even to just 1 month forward, we're closing around 17 today, so the ask is about 420 on calls and 90 cents on puts, so at least four times higher for calls than puts. So that does suggest that there is increasing demand for hedges as we are at new lows. And intraday today, the VIX did make a new reaction low to test the 15 level. Of course, this is not a new low when we look at it on an historical basis. There have been plenty of times when it has been down around the 10 level. But we've also seen that on this decline down from the significant peaks we had in 2020, and I'm just going to see if I can get rid or get them to put back on the dates here, we can look at other periods where we've had significant just contractions in volatility from panicky peaks. So back in 2008, we had a similar pace of decline, and it took about a year to get down to about the 15 level. But we didn't have the same number of spikes on the upside. We can look at what's been happening this in the last 12 months. We've had numerous occasions when volatility spiked on the upside, and yet the S&P 500 really didn't look back. And it doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation right now, although it does look a little bit overstretched or perhaps a little tired in the region of the all-time peak. But what it does suggest is that there's a lot of money flowing around, and that it's going to require a very significant loss of that money in order to really have an impact on the trend overall. So we've had these spikes in the volatility index without them having a material effect on the trajectory of the uptrend. And I think it really does all come down to treasuries and then also to the dollar. Treasury yields were down again in here today. So this is translating into a modest rally in treasury prices. Of course, we've had a contract change, and it looks like a more impressive rally if we look at an individual contract. So it's on the cusp of breaking out, and it's certainly a new closing high for the September contract going back to, or at least we haven't seen a level like this since it was particularly illiquid back in February. So this is at least giving some consideration to the potential, at least, that we're going to have transitory inflation of at least the kind that the Federal Reserve measures. Of course, everybody can see evidence of inflationary pressures, and there's a lot of emotionality that's attached to the whole question of the whole question of inflation, because people feel like they're being robbed, and of course they are, and that's one of the reasons why they've referred to inflation as the thief that comes in the night. Well, the dollar index was a little steadier in here today, so with bonds steadying and the dollar steady, one is feeding through to support the other, and There's the potential, at least, that the Federal Reserve might make an announcement at the June 16th meeting to the effect that they are considering tapering. I don't see that they're going to begin tapering. I don't think they're going to begin tapering for quite some time. But we've definitely seen that there's a lot of activity in these meme stocks, and potentially that is what is animating some of the discussion about tapering. Of course, when we look at some of these stocks, that they have what could only be described as impaired business models. Well, there's obviously a lot of interest in them from retail investors, and this is, I think, emblematic of the kind of trading activity we have right now. So, for example, this was the big mover today, Clover Health, and it's a $9 billion company as a result of a 50% advance in here today, and all on the back of retail traders. And it had been at post-IPO lows as recently as 3 weeks ago. So we definitely have this evidence of speculative activity. And then, of course, we have speculative activity in the NFT market, where you have artists selling invisible sculptures. And I'm sure that we're going to look back on this period in history and think about how on earth anyone could look on a real-life example of the emperor has no clothes and not laugh in derision. But we've definitely seen this, that somebody has been able to sell nothing for $18,000, and that they've been lauded for it, and then people are falling over themselves to talk about the artistry. And of course, I mean, it's so unbelievably outlandish that someone could get away with this, and yet we continue to think about the whole cryptocurrency market and the question of what is deliverable and what is the real world use case. And people are again falling over themselves to come up with a real world use case, and they're deploying serious man hours into trying to figure out how to do all of these different things with software and blockchains and independent ledgers. But one thing that was for certain is that the FBI was able to recoup a substantial amount of the money that had been paid in ransom to the Colonial for the Colonial Pipedown ransomware attack, and that should bring home to everyone that blockchains are public ledgers by design. And one thing is, I think, perhaps more important is that cybersecurity is certainly getting more attention. So the ETF is pushing back on the upside. And then I think what's also interesting is that Televisa, which is the merger between Univision and Televisa, has continued to push on the upside, and it broke out yesterday from its range. And one thing I saw today is that 50% of Spanish households now have some form of streaming, and Televisa has just announced their own streaming service, and they're going to populate it with 14,000 hours of their own programming. So they produce something in the region of 80,000 hours of programming a year. And that's more than anyone could consume in a year, even if they were to stay up 24 hours a day. By contrast, Netflix produced about 2,000 hours of unique programming, and that dwarfed what the BBC was able to produce. So, Televisa is this incredible generator of content that has probably passed unnoticed by the rest of the world. And we can definitely see that large numbers of companies are deploying significant assets in developing their own production companies Apple has certainly been active in that sphere, and so has Amazon. And then that's on top of all the conventional producers as well. And then in South Korea, you have joint ventures with Tencent and Alibaba that have been producing large numbers of Korean soap operas that they've been exporting into the Chinese market. So there's certainly a growing theme in terms of content provision, and a lot of it is being devoted towards the creation of dramas and the kinds of what is visual candy type of programming that tends to attract large audiences. But what it also helps to highlight is that there are opportunities in Latin America, and the Mexican index continues to be quite strong. And the fact that Luis Obrador wasn't able to capture a supermajority in the elections over the weekend has also helped to or helped the index to break the medium-term downtrend in nominal terms. When we look at the dollar, then it was steadier in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. Does anybody really think that the Federal Reserve is going to try and support the dollar? The USA wants a weaker currency, and they're unlikely to do anything to jeopardize it, even if we do have this continued speculation about the potential for tapering. The one thing I think is also quite interesting is the new book by Schiller, where he's talking about narratives, and it's almost as if Schiller has become a momentum investor, and he's talking about the potential that Bitcoin will become its own asset class. Well, I think that it's likely that cryptocurrencies will become their own asset class, and eventually that will be the case once a lot of the questions about what they're actually for and what the real use case is have been ironed out. There's the potential that they will become a rational asset class, but we're in the hype phase at the moment, and there's absolutely no predicting which one is going to come out and be the winner in this competition, because once there's a winner, all the others will be effectively worthless. So we can then think about these big comparisons that have been made between cryptocurrencies and gold. Well, gold prices were a little softer in here today, and they have bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it has clearly broken the downward bias since August. We're now in the region of the peaks from November and January, and those peaks were marked by big downward dynamics. And so far, we haven't had any follow-through on the decline that we had back last Thursday. So it's an interesting point. And if all we get is a consolidation in the region of $1,900 and above the trend mean, well, that couldn't pro that would probably be the most benign environment that one might wish for. And it looks like a recovery scenario overall. And we can think about how silver has continued to consolidate in the region of the upper side of its range. And it was also in somewhat weaker territory in here as well today. But this also looks like a pause, and it's been reasonably orderly in the region of the upper side of this range that's been developing since August. And there's a clear upward bias overall. So it's, I think, more likely than not we're going to see precious metals breaking on the upside before very long, but perhaps not quite yet. Think the other important point here is that lumber prices are coming back down, and the price broke below $1,200 in here today, and I think that's a meaningful event considering the size of the limit up days we had, if we're going from limit down to limit up in May and early June. Then the breakdown is a resumption of the bear market, and I think this is now moving into a clear downtrend where we have lower highs and lower lows. And it suggests that the inflation in housing prices and the inflation in building material prices that has been ongoing for most of the last year is over, and that we are going to see more normal levels prevailing before very long. So that is at least part of the reason why we've seen less focus on permanent inflation or trending inflation. And then we can think about oil prices, which were up in here today and clearly steadying above the 70,000, excuse me, $70 level. I'm posting a rather interesting graphic here today where there's the clear trend of the break-even rate for shale, and it's down now to $40 and change. So they're on record cash flows. They're not developing, or they're not building, excuse me. They're not drilling new wells. Instead, what they're doing is they're going back over the drilled but uncompleted wells and bringing them online. So that is a cheaper way of bringing new production online, and it's helping to pad out cash flow and to improve company financials. Of course, eventually they're going to run out of those kinds of drilled but incomplete wells, and they'll have to start drilling again. The big point, of course, is that shale oil is totally reliant on the more expensive hydraulic and hydraulic fracturing drilling material, and then they have to continue to drill. So it's both more expensive and additionally capital intensive to continue on a drilling program. So they're going to be quite now they're having financial discipline imposed upon them, and this is exactly what happened to the gold miners, and that was an enormously painful experience for gold miners, and they went through what was a very lengthy bear market, and they had to start issuing these all-in sustaining cost figures, and the vast majority of gold miners now abide by that metric, and it's very conservative. So we're getting to the point where that similar type of demand will be imposed upon the oil producers as well. Now, oil prices have rallied, so we're continuing to see the energy sector doing well, and as long as they're both going up, then they will continue to do well. But we don't have a supply inelasticity meets rising demand environment for oil. It's not so much that there isn't rising demand. We have a recovering global economy, so there is rising demand, but there's plenty of supply, and the supply deficit we have at present is artificially induced. And OPEC Plus have 8 million barrels a day that they're holding off the market. So eventually they're going to bring some of that supply back into the market, and then prices will start to come back down again. So I think it's difficult to make the argument that we have a secular bull market in oil prices. Much easier to make it that we have a secular bull market in the precious metals, and perhaps also then, and I'm not going to say perhaps, I think it's definite that we have a secular bull market in copper, and prices have been very orderly on the upside. So that is, I think, continuing to support commodity producers everywhere from Mexico to Brazil to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, have and Russia have all been firming of late on the back of stronger commodity prices. And if the dollar does in fact break downwards, which I believe is likely, then that will lend additional fuel to that trend. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.